Hello and welcome to Global Focus. I'm Laura Angela Bagnetto. Today we're taking a look at a ruling in South Africa's High Court earlier this week regarding a ship, Western Sahara Phosphate, its cargo, and who owns it. The NM Cherry Blossom was on its way to New Zealand after picking up phosphate illegally mined by Morocco in Western Sahara, a disputed territory south of Morocco. Western Sahara Resource Watch, a watchdog organization that investigates the plunder of Western Sahara, has released a new report this week called Carriers of Conflict on the shipping industry, paying particular attention to the NM Cherry Blossom. We spoke to Eric Hagen, the head of Western Sahara Resource Watch, based in Oslo, Norway, to tell us more.
On the trial itself, a panel consisting of three judges in the High Court of South Africa Thursday decided to order the opening of a trial to determine the ownership of the cargo on board this detained bulk vessel in the waters of South Africa. This vessel is coming from Western Sahara. It contains 54,000 tons of phosphate. And the question now that the court will decide is who is the legitimate owner of these phosphate rock. Is it the exporter, meaning the Moroccan government, would have no legal rights to be in Western Sahara? Is it the importer in New Zealand? Is it the owner of the vessel, or is it the charter of the vessel, or is it the people of Western Sahara who actually started this legal case? So now the court has to decide who owns the phosphate on board. The price for one ton of phosphates is around $100. So 54,000 tons of phosphates, you can do the math yourself. It's quite a lot of money. As a matter of principles, this is extremely interesting.
It's also interesting because the shipper, it seems, which you outline in your report, actually complained about being detained in Port Elizabeth, South Africa, because it was costing them, because they've been detained 45 days already.
Yeah, this is exactly the content of our report, basically. We published this report this week, more or less as a warning to the shipping companies. Pay attention to what you're doing. You're not only violating fundamental ethics, but you're also putting yourself in a legal risk. Your ships can be detained if they transport goods which are plundered from an occupied territory. You're putting yourself in a legal risk. And with this comes also financial risk. So the companies now should be aware that there's a financial risk. If you have a vessel stuck in harbor for 45 days, that comes with a large cost. It's a real financial risk involved in the shipping of these goods. And that's exactly what this court case now is also illustrating. This is hitting hard in the wallets of these shipping companies.
And this case could set a precedent, is that right?
I think most of all, it inspires people of Western Sahara who have been hoping for an active United Nations, who put trust in the Security Council and organizing the referendum they've been promised. This people who have been stabbed in the back by the United Nations. They have not been given the referendum they were promised. Now they're taking legal steps. Now they're using the legal venues. And if we're talking about presidents, I think most of all, it's a president in the way that it inspires the people of Western Sahara to take their legitimate struggle through legal channels. So most of all, it's an inspiration. It's a vitamin boost for the representative government of Western Sahara who's living in exile. So that's the most important. But we might see ripple effects that other national courts take on this issue, or at least national courts take on direct investment in Western Sahara when there's a national link to it. Different national courts operate in different ways and interpret their own jurisdictions in different ways. So we don't know how this will play out.
In your report, you outline who the players are in court, and it's an international, from Greece to New Zealand, Germany, Denmark. Can you give us a little overview about how this could really affect a number of companies and even countries?
Well, in general, one shipment has an importing country, meaning that there are seven importing countries now of these phosphate rocks. But every vessel has between one and four or five different companies involved in the management, in operation, or the ownership of each vessel. So every single vessel has, this is specifically in the case of the shipping business, a very international business. So one vessel can have consequences for visibility, political visibility in very many countries at the same time. So exactly as you're right, this vessel has links to Greece, Germany, Denmark. And this also illustrates that these countries I mentioned now are also the main players in this shipping business. Greece is the country with most companies involved in Western Sahara shipping. That's what our report shows. Germany is very heavily involved. And Denmark, from Denmark, we have the most involved shipping company of them all. It's a company called Ultrabulk. And we have another large player coming in later this year as well. So it's a very international business. Japan, China are also big. Those are the most important ones. Turkey also.
Basically, this is a report that is specifically about NM Cherry Blossom detained in South Africa. However, you also have a macro effect of the biggest culprits in shipping who are taking the phosphates illegally mined and transporting them. And this is it's a laundry list of a number of companies.
Yeah, it's right. Yeah. The report mentions around 100 companies involved in these 46 vessels, which departed from January 1st last year until today. So these 100 companies, we are contacting them and we're asking, have you sought the consent of the people of Western Sahara upon doing these things? Most of them say no, they didn't even strike their mind. The problem here is that there is no UN sanction on Western Sahara trade. The Security Council is completely paralyzed because of the French-Moroccan alliance. So it means that in the lack of the UN sanctions, the companies are very, so to say, vulnerable in that they have to interpret the other aspects of international law all by themselves without the very clear checkbox UN embargo fact. They have to evaluate the legal implications of this international law without having the Security Council to give them steering or give them advice. So the lack of a clear UN sanction is putting the companies in a difficult situation as well.
Would you read into the news that French President Emmanuel Macron made a personal visit to Morocco this week to visit the king?
As a European Union country, France is very interested in continuing to undermine the decision of the Court of Justice of the EU last year. Now, there you have the real scandal. The highest body of law in the European Union, the Court of Justice, has decided, judged last year, that it's illegal to enter into deals with Morocco covering Western Sahara. And then just a few months later, the French government is pushing hard to convince the other 27 EU member states to basically overrule politically the judgment from the Court of Justice. The European Union, under the monopoly of France in this case, has become an institution which is actively working against the rule of law. It's setting a terrible precedent for international community.
Within this new report, give an update from your last report called P is for Plunder that dealt with the mining companies and also the shipping companies. And you actually have some positive results because Western Sahara Resource Watch actually reached out to companies who were shipping the phosphates and they gave you answers.
So, over the last decade or so, many importers have stopped. I think six, seven different importers have stopped importing from Western Sahara due to exactly these matters of international law and human rights. When these stop importing, we see the trade continues, and that's where the interest in the shipping companies come. Okay, so if the importers are stopping, who's still shipping it? The importers are from Norway, Australia, Mexico, U.S., Spain, Lithuania. There's been a number of companies basically stopping totally or 99% of it, basically. And we also see it on shipping. There have been several shipping companies stopping it because they were not aware of what was happening. So even as late as this week, one of the largest Swedish banks divested from the four stock exchange registered importers. So in the investor community, this is super interesting, the whole phosphate business.
What recommendations does Western Sahara Resource Watch have in order to stop this?
When it comes to the shipping business in general, if we're talking about the shipping itself, most of these companies are small, private-owned. They are often not even on the stock exchange, so it's hard to reach out to the owners. So the shipping business is difficult for us to target, and I think it needs to come from government level. The governments need to act responsibly. The governments, particularly of Denmark, Germany, Greece, these countries, need to be very clear vis-à-vis its important shipping industry that, yes, there are no UN sanctions, but there are very important considerations of international law to make. Be careful. You have to stop trading with goods from Western Sahara. It's not only illegal, but you can also place yourself in a legally difficult situation. So I think it's up to the governments to act and to advise the companies to behave in line with national law and describe what that is. It doesn't help to just say be legal. It has to be very specific. Say it's illegal to act there without seeking the consent first from the people of the territory. So the governments have to be more clear and more on the field there, telling the companies what to do.
That's all the time we have today for Global Focus. I'm Laura Angela Bagnetto. Until next time, goodbye.